Well, amen. There is one thing I've learned on the deputation travels is don't play football with teenagers and their teenage leader. I used to joke about my dad. He used to play co-ed softball with us, and he'd sit there, and every time he'd play, he would, you know, the next day he'd be so hurt, and his back would be out and everything, and my mom and me would keep telling him, you know, you need to quit. And he's like, I can't quit. I said, yeah, you can. I said, you're just stubborn. You need to just quit. And he said, no, one of these days you'll understand. And at the time, I didn't understand. And so I went out there Saturday and played with these younger men. And I'm not saying I'm old or anything. I'm just not as young as I used to be. And definitely not in shape as I used to be. And I went out there and played with him. Of course, one teenager had to challenge me and everything. He said, I'm going to beat you. Of course, you know, that makes it worse. And so went out there, and my team won. And but the next day, I didn't feel like I won. And I texted my dad, and I said, hey, and I kind of told him the story and everything. I said, you remember the time I told you to quit? And he said, yeah. And I told him what went on, and the only comment he had was a laughter. And I told him my wife was right next to me laughing with me and everything, and she said, you know, you shouldn't have done that. And I said, I know. Well, after the afternoon fellowship, before we headed home, they challenged me again to play basketball. And I was like, no, I'm hurting and everything. And they said, oh, come on now. Are you an old guy and everything? I was like, no, of course not. And started playing basketball with them. And I was like, man, I'm just like my dad. I'm too stubborn to quit. But you know what? I would hope for my life and for your life, I would hope that we would be that way with the Lord, that we wouldn't quit. In a sense, we'd be too stubborn to quit. That people would sit there and look at us and be like, hey, He never gives up. No matter the pain, no matter the trials and tribulation that he goes through, he is still serving the Lord. And I want to be able to encourage you this evening. I don't normally preach in a way that I'm fixing to preach unto you tonight, but I believe the Lord has us to be able to look at two men and kind of compare them tonight. But if you would look at two different passages and look over in Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And then keep your place there, and as we're reading Isaiah chapter number 6, we're going to go over to Exodus chapter number 3 and read verses 1 through 11 there as well. And I really want to deal with tonight about the two different responses that Isaiah had and also what Moses had that I believe fits right in of what our answer would be unto the calling of our God. But Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Oh, if we would look at God that way, high and lifted up, I believe it would change our outlook on a lot of things. Verse 2, the Bible says, above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And that really ought to be our response when we hear the voice of the Lord saying, who will go? That we would have that response of, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever it is. But I want you to look at a different side of that, of another man's response in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Here we have one man's response to a need, a cry unto the Lord. There was a need in Isaiah's life, and he looked at the Lord and said, Here am I. But the Lord told the need and the cry of the people of God, and Moses says, Who am I to do this? And really, it took some time in this passage and here in Exodus. It finally took some time to get Moses to understand that the Lord was going to be with him. And the Lord even gave him his brother Aaron to help him along the way. But that wasn't his first answer. In a sense, in this answer, he was telling the Lord, No, who am I to do that? And we ought to feel honored to be able to be called of the Lord. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for this time together. Father, I pray that you would help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you would just help me to be submissive to your leadership tonight, that you would take control of the services. And, Lord, it's only that way to be able to be spoken to. Lord, help us to apply whatever is needed in our life. Help us to understand and have a burden for missions, have a burden for the lost world. And, Lord, to be the one to say, Here am I. And Lord, not to say, who am I? Lord, I am nobody. And in reality, we are nobody. But Lord, we have someone who can help us. Father, I just pray that you would use me tonight. Father, I pray you would speak to my heart. Help us to be better for you. And Lord, that this week, Lord, that we would leave knowing that you've spoken with us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to someone tonight that might be lost. Or we would think of a night like this and an off night, Lord, that there wouldn't be anybody, but Lord, you know the hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them and convict them of their need of a Savior. Father, would you just do a work that only you can? Help me, Lord, tonight once again as your messenger. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You look at these two answers, and I want to deal with tonight. The title of the message is, Here am I. Or is your answer, Who am I? Who am I? There's a definite different answer. Now, eventually, Moses did go after the calling of God and did follow the call of God, but it was not a direct first answer of him in his life to sit there and say, Lord, I will do this. He had been in Egypt. He understood the cry. He actually went out there in Acts chapter number 7. He actually went out there to see them and to be able to understand. And actually, the Acts chapter 7, we'll see here in just a moment, they had some kind of understanding that he was going to be their deliverer. But he says right here, right now, even though he went out there to try to help them out, he says here right now, from God, who am I? And we have another man here that I would hope that would be our answer tonight when God is calling us. God might be speaking to your heart through this missions conference. God might be dealing with you of a call in your life, which in reality, we all have a call on our life. Amen. As a child of God, as a member of this local New Testament church, there is a call upon your life to serve God and also to be a witness in this world. The Bible gives a great commission unto the church, but what is that church made of? It is made of those individual members that each and every one has their part in witnessing. Some may go into a foreign land to be a missionary unto Papua New Guinea or to Russia or wherever it might be, but your job might be to stay here and to be a witness unto your neighbor, unto your coworker. You know, oftentimes we think, well, I'm not a missionary, so I can't do the work of God. No, Moses actually went into his own land, into his own people to get them out from the bondage of Egypt, which the bondage of Egypt has always been a type of the world and a type of being the bondage underneath sin, and he was going there to, as God commanded him to, let my people go. And that's what we need to do in our life, is to be able to be that servant, but we have too many distractions. I believe as technology goes along and as this world goes along, there's so many more excuses, so many more distractions. But as we've seen before, and pastors talking about the theme from last year, there is still a need even today. You look at Moses and look at Isaiah, and there was a need then during Moses' time. There was a need there in Isaiah, and they sat there and answered unto God. But listen, there is still a need today, and our answer should be, "Hear my Lord. I see that need, God. I see what you're talking about. I see why you're calling unworthy vessels to be able to be used in your ministry. Lord, I see that. Let me be the one to go." Did you notice how God approached them? In Isaiah, he came as asking who will go. It's not like he went unto Moses. Whenever he went unto Moses, he said, "I want you to go and do this task." No, he went unto Isaiah, and he's going around. Not that he didn't know that Isaiah would answer that, but he asked, "Who will go?" And you know, really what Isaiah was doing, he was coming of a willing spirit. And that's really how we ought to start off in our service. And too many times we're not willing, or at first surrendering our life to God. We're waiting for that call, but maybe we haven't surrendered our life unto Him. He said, "Listen, I see the need wherever it might be. Lord, here am I. I might not know the direction. I might not know if it's here or if it's yonder. I might not know what it's going to take. I might not know the path, but God, I am willing and ready right here." But there was a commandment given unto Moses. There's a different approach here, but both of them was aware of the need to go unto the people. Both of them was aware. And you've heard many times, I'm sure, in messages and here in this church that there is a great need unto this world, this sin-sick world. There's a great need in your community here in Knobnoster. There is a great need. I'm sure you are aware of that. Both of them were aware of the need of going to others and giving them the good news. But what was the difference here? What was the difference here that you and I can glean from that sometimes it comes into our life? And I really kind of want to directly stay on Moses' life, and because I believe a lot of times we're more on Moses' side and the example of Moses than we are on Isaiah's side. He called out specific men for a specific purpose. Yes, he called the church, but once again, we're made up of many members in that church. I'm a part of my church, Bible Baptist Church. There's a task and a plan for that church. You're a part of this church. There's a great commission given to every church. But what about you personally? Do you know your call upon your life? You say, "Well, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist." I got that. A calling is just God calling you out to do a task. We oftentimes try to think that it's something way out yonder that we'll never be able to reach. But no, God is simply asking you, not that He can't do it on His own, but imagine that, a great honor, specifically asking you and you and you to do something, to be a witness. Because we all can be a witness, amen? But before we can even do that, I want to understand that both of them had a relationship with God. We cannot serve God. We cannot answer that call of God, because there's not going to be a call there. We first have to have a relationship with God. You might be here lost tonight and trying to figure out, "Well, I'm not understanding what that call is. I'm not understanding what this missions conference is all about. I'm not understanding why this is not, I'm not understanding this." Maybe because your call is to salvation. Listen, this is a great night as well. You know, we think of Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and maybe, you know, possible Wednesday nights, the salvational message. But listen, anytime the Word is given, anytime, even outside of services, listen, a great opportunity is to understand, a great start would be at salvation. Amen? They both had a relationship first with God. But Moses and Isaiah were to live according to God, were to live His way, His plan. Both were to live holy. Both were to stay pure. And each one had a different task, a different type of calling But there was an ultimate goal, is to go into the need, to go into the people. I want you to look at, once again, we already dealt with it this night, about that both of them were aware of this. Look in Isaiah chapter number 6, back in our passage. Hopefully you've kept your place here. I'm surprised that I have kept my place. Normally I mix it up and get out of place. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, there is an awareness here that obviously God is having a need here. It goes on to talk about Isaiah was dealing with, I am a man of unclean lips, but he also says, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Obviously there are people that are sinning and need someone to go out and to talk to them. In verse 8 it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What a great opportunity for a question from God to sit there and say, who is going to do this task that is needed? What a great opportunity. If you're aware of that need, why not get involved and say, God, if there's a need, God, show me where I can get involved. That's what Isaiah's life was all about. He said, Lord, here am I. Show me, God. I want to be used of you. Obviously, you've shown me there's a need because you're asking who's going to go towards that need. God, I want to be the one. Are you having a heart here tonight during this missions conference? Are you open to God calling you to a foreign field? You say, oh, I'm not going to a foreign field. Why? Why? Well, I wouldn't know the people. I wouldn't know the language. Let me tell you something. I don't quite know all the language. Okay, come on now. Y'all look shocked or something. I'm learning the language now. But why not? God asking you. Let me say it again. God asking you. Hey, I want you to go to Russia. I want you to go to Papua New Guinea. I want you to go to wherever. Why would we sit there and say, oh, no, not me? And be like Moses, who am I? Not me. Why not? There's a gentleman in our church, and we kind of kid around in those things about, you know, a call and not being disrespectful. But I told him, I said, hey, I believe God's calling you to come with me. And he's kind of looking at me like, well, I don't know where you got your call from. He said, I'm not getting that same call. We joke about that, but our heart, our desire ought to be, if someone says, hey, God might be calling you there, to be like, oh yeah, that'd be great. But too many times we're saying, mm-mm, no. There's a need. Now I'm sure we can sit there and say, obviously, Brother Riley, there's a need everywhere. But what about you? What is God wanting you to do? To go to this need? To go to that need. Yes, it's a similar need. Moses went to this need, and it was similar to that need over there in Isaiah. They were different, but they were similar. Why not answer that call and say, here am I? They both were aware of that. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, many of you would know this, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You might be the only light at your job. That might be your calling, is to be a witness at your job. Are you aware there's a need at your job? Are you aware of it? Are you aware that there's others in your job that are probably not saved? Probably 90% of them, if not all of them, are not saved. Why do you think God gave you that job? Well, to support my family. Well, yeah. But what about being a witness unto them? What about telling them about the good news, the gospel, sharing that light unto them? What about it? We need to. There's a need out there to reach lost souls. Do we really have a burden for? I think we've lost that burden, to be honest with you. And you say, well, what do you mean, Brother Riley? I believe that a lot of times we'll go into Walmart, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody or those things because I've done it myself. Sadly, we'll go into Walmart or even in the airport, and you tell me the first thing you think of when you see a Muslim person. Me, I'll be honest, whenever I get on the airplane or thing and I see that because of things that have happened in the past, I sure hope they don't do anything to this plane. We've lost that burden because they need a Savior as well in their life. We don't want to go to this community. We don't want to go to these people. We don't want to go because of the way they are. We don't want to go to them because of the way they look. Listen, there's a need everywhere. Moses didn't go there and say, well, I'm not going over there because they're slaves. No. God said, you need to go there because there's a cry. They need to be rescued. And I want to rescue them and use you to do that. You know, we look at them and look down upon them and say, man, why would they act that way? Listen, the lost are going to act lost. But shame on Christians who act lost. Shame on Christians who act lost. Because we're not going to reach this lost world if we're acting like the lost world. Next thing I want you to look at is their answer. Obviously, we've been dealing with that in a general sense, their answer, but I want to be a little more specific. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, and you don't have to turn there, I can read it, but it says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? He got the commandment from God, and God says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. You're going to show great wonders there. You're going to bring them out of Egypt. He's already telling him the plan that's going to happen through him there in Egypt. He's already given him basically a promise what's going to happen using Moses, using specifically him. He didn't call Aaron at this time at this burning bush, even though he had Aaron go along with him to be a help. He's telling him what's going to happen and what lies ahead, his path. And Moses said, who am I? Not me. You got the wrong person. You know, I believe that Moses had peer pressure. Go over to Acts chapter number 7, if you would, please. And remember this answer that Moses had. Who am I? In Acts chapter 7, because a lot of times we don't want to get into the ministry or we don't want to answer God's calling because of peer pressure. Well, what will others think of me? What will my coworkers think? What will my family think? And trust me, your family are going to think some odd things about you. My family has, praise the Lord, are saved and go to church. My wife's family, we're trying to be a witness unto them. They're not a Christian home. But they look at us as like, why are you doing this? Why are you taking your family with you? Listen, we're not going to allow these people or these circumstances to look at us that would deter us from following God's call. But in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, the Bible says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And that's where it all begins, is in the heart, amen. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Listen very carefully, because I believe a lot of times we miss this call upon Moses' life. It says, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. Real quickly, before we move on, Moses, whether it was through his parents, whether it was through his own self, had an understanding, even before the burning bush, that he was going to be a deliverer. You sit there and say, wow, that's not correct. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, we look at movies and we look at Hollywood and everything, and he's all about the Egyptians. He doesn't know who his family are and everything, and then he gets a calling at the burning bush. But my Bible tells me here that it says he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Keep going on to verse 26. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? Listen very carefully what they say. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrusting Moses away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? You know what they were saying? Who are you? Who are you? And then when it comes time that God says, hey, it's time, at the burning bush, what did Moses say? Who am I to rule over these people? I believe possibly that Moses had those people in the back of his mind when they said, who made thee a ruler over us and judge over us? Had a little bit of peer pressure there, thinking, there's no way that I can do this. There's no way. Who am I? How oftentimes do we let peer pressure keep us from answering that call unto God? God, who am I? Who am I to do this? Moses began to look at himself. Now, listen, he eventually answered the call, and he eventually, after there's a little bit of argument on Moses' part, and there was some anger against Moses because he was not answering and he was not understanding, but he eventually did that. But I don't want to be a Christian that eventually answers the call of God. I don't want to sit there and eventually get into service. I don't want to eventually get involved in missions. When God is speaking to my heart, I want to do it right then and right now. Why? Not because of me, because there is a need out there that is more important than me. Moses wasn't looking at the need. He was looking at himself. I'm not a great speaker. Okay. If you weren't a great speaker, and that's true, why did God call you? You know, we tend to look at ourselves and our inabilities. Well, I'm not a good speaker. I'm not good in public. And I used to think that. I hated at school, at debates, and getting in front of people. I hated that. Thanks, God. We look at ourselves and think, well, I'm not going to answer the call because I can't do this. I can't do that. You know what really what you're doing? You're not trusting God. Well, why did he call you to begin with? Matter of fact, he wants to use somebody, obviously with Isaiah willingly, but he wants to use your attributes, your personality, you. And that's where it gets down to what we've been talking about of being personal. Why did he call you? Why did he call me? I don't know at this moment, but I'm going to answer it and find out to go over there. God created me for a purpose. God created me this way. Now, this way was my fault. But God created me a certain way, certain characteristics, certain attributes, to be used. Moses looked at what he was created of what we would think of his inabilities. He says, I can't do it. I think a lot of times we let those distractions or we think that we can't do things get in the way and we say, no, I can't do this. But if God is calling you, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. And Isaiah saw that. Matter of fact, he got a right perspective. He looked at the high and lofty one. And instead of looking at himself in the mirror, he looked at God and said, oh, here am I. There's no way. Why would I even not trust you? You know what Moses was doing? As God was saying, I'm going to use you, he's looking at himself. God, there's no way. But if he was looking at God and had the right perspective, he probably would have the same answer. Oh, Lord. When can we go? Let's get to work. Let's go. But no, he's looking at himself. And we oftentimes worry about things that are going to happen. You know, and like I said, it doesn't have to be necessarily on the mission field, but it can be here in our home. A lot of times we don't want to go door knocking because of our inability to speak. Do you know that one of the greatest missionaries outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he did? And we consider him a great missionary? He told of his testimony. He told on that trip on the road to Damascus what the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He told that unto the council. Matter of fact, he had a king, as the king said, almost thou persuadest me. All Paul did was just tell of his testimony. Amen. And that's what we're to do. Share what Christ did in our life. Sharing the gospel. Listen, we can face anything out there compared to what my Christ faced for me. The Bible says you can even see him as a man because of so much that was done unto him. And then we say, I can't go do that. I might go in a dangerous place. I can't do that because there's no TV there. I can't do that because of my conveniences. We're looking at the wrong thing. We're not looking at the cry and the need that is out there. We're looking about our convenience instead of the most important thing, and that's lost souls. And that's really what I want us to look about is their ability. Look over once again in Exodus chapter 3. I know I'm flipping back and forth to Isaiah and Exodus, but I want us to stay here in Exodus chapter 3 as we're starting to close up. Their ability. You know, God's not going to call necessarily somebody who is already a scholar or knows everything. Have you noticed, even with the nation of Israel, have you noticed God oftentimes uses the smallest thing to do great things? I mean, think about it. The nation of Israel is probably one of the smallest countries. You even look on the map how small they are, and no one can defeat them. No one. You look at it so many times, how God used somebody small. You know, he talked many times, don't look at their stature. Whenever they were picking out a king and Samuel was going to the brethren of David and looking at their stature, he said, don't look at their stature. So he uses oftentimes the smallest thing, or we would sometimes think of the weakest thing, to do great things. We don't have to sit there and be a scholar. We don't have to sit there and be somebody, be rich or be this or be that. All we have to do is just be willing. And God will enable you. God will too. And I'm not saying those things aren't great. You know, degrees and no. But don't think you have to have that to be used of God. Well, I can't be this because I'm not a preacher. I can't be this because of what I've done in the past. You know how many men and women in the Bible have done things in the past? Paul, persecuting the churches. I find that interesting. He's persecuting the churches, and when he got saved, he's building churches. God may be able to use your past of what you've done to be a testimony and to build upon that later on down in life, to be a witness. You know, if you're talking about drunkard, smoking, and all those things, and being saved, and help others, listen, or even tell them, yes, you're that, but you know what? God saved me from that, and he can save you too. God wants to use you, your story, your ability, the way you think, the way you talk. If you will just surrender and let him use you. Moses said, I can't speak. And so even then, God says, okay. I'll give you your brother. Look at Exodus. I'll mention about going there. Go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And that ought to be enough. Talking about God speaking unto Moses, certainly I will be with thee. And that ought to give us great confidence. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Look at verse 14. Still Moses is not wanting to submit. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this. Two things right there already to begin with. Moses said, I can't do this. Well, three things. God said, I will be with thee. Well, that ought to be enough for any of us to answer the call of God. Amen. God calling us ought to be good enough. He showed him a great miracle of being used of this rod. And he gave him Aaron. God's not going to leave you alone. God's going to be right there with you. If he's called you, he's going to enable you. He's going to equip you. He's going to help you along the way. When we don't answer his call, number one, we're sinning, because the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's a sin. But we're actually not trusting him. We're putting ourselves over him. I'm not going. Right there you just said, I'm over you, God. I'm the authority of my life. And you're worried about yourself instead of the need that is out there. He is able, and he is able to help you. Once again, God calls us for a personal call with a particular task. You know, we sing the song, I'm sure y'all probably know the song, He is able, I know he is able. Sorry, getting this rug. We sing it, he's able to deliver thee, he is able to deliver thee. We sing it, and then when God calls, I can't do it. Kind of on the flip side of it there, isn't it? Listen, God's calling you for something. I don't know what it is tonight. God called Isaiah and he said, here am I. That ought to be our heart. A willing heart. No matter what it takes, God. God, you gave everything for me. God, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He went to a foreign land, to a need, to find them that were lost. He submitted to the will of the Father. And it didn't matter that path, how hard it was. At the very end, he gained victory for you and I. Don't worry about the pressures and heartaches and those things. Christ went through a whole lot worse. I think we can do the same. Don't be a Moses. Who am I? Don't look at yourself as not being able to. Look at it as God is able to use me for His purpose and His plan. Amen. Let's spend a word of prayer.